You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
It is Gamine with the lead as they come for the top of the stretch. Room on the inside for Lake Avenue. Then Estilo Talentoso. CC on the far outside as they move down for the eighth pole. It is Gamine with the lead. CC on the outside. Lake Avenue down at the rail. Then it is Sconson. Now there's a 16th to the finish. And Gamine has a three-length lead. Lake Avenue giving chase. It will be Gamine and Johnny Velasquez to win the Grade 1, Kettle 1, Ballerina. 7 furlongs and 121-3.
John Embriel with the call. That is Gamine winning the Ballerina at Saratoga in her most recent effort. That catapults the Eclipse Champion female sprinter into this year's edition of the Breeders' Cup. She will look to defend her title in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. And with that, I say welcome to this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin. A few weeks ago, you'll recall that we talked about the fact that Breeders' Cup was going to be making a decision on whether or not Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert was going to be allowed to participate in this year's event. And I posed the question to Dale and Tim, asking them to complete this sentence. Bob Baffert not being allowed to participate in the Breeders' Cup would be. And Dale's response was criminal. Tim also agreed that Dale should be allowed to participate. Well, this past week, the Breeders' Cup announced that that is the case. Bob's horses will be allowed to run, but they are going to have to undergo additional testing that is going to be at the expense of trainer Bob Baffert. So my first question on this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer comes in two parts. And Dale, I guess I'll kick it off with you first. Do you agree with how Breeders' Cup has decided to handle this situation, and is Bob Baffert making a mistake by agreeing to those terms?
Not really, but we're beating a dead horse here. It's the same issue. He's innocent until proven guilty. He hasn't even had a hearing. Here's what I don't like about this. It's all placating to the public. It's to me, it's phony. There's such stringent security and testing already in place. And if there's something better they can do, then we should all be under those same rules. It should be as tight as security as possible. When you come out and say, well, we're going to give him more security, well, that means other people are getting less security. And believe me, it's not like that at Breeders' Cup. They do out-of-competition testing. We have security on our horses constantly, not only to protect the horses, but to make sure that the horses are not tampered with for illegal reasons. And, you know, it just let the guy run, and we'll figure it out after. He's got a lot of punishment coming if in fact he has his day in court and he's found guilty. It'll all take care of itself. And as far as him doing the right thing, he did what he had to do. At some point you got to start picking your fights. And, that's not a fight. If I'm him, I would have picked right now to go on and do what I'm doing. I got a bigger fish to fry, just fighting for his career.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question, Dale. As a trainer, I said this earlier in the show. Do you think that Bob agreeing to fund additional testing out of his own pocket now sets a bad precedent going forward for other trainers where other racetracks and jurisdictions might say, okay, you know what? You can run your horses in this race, but you have to do additional testing. We're not paying for it. You have to pay for it if you want to run.
Well, and see, in that case, I think that the horsemen's groups out there should have stepped up and fought for him to not have to pay for it. They're going to profit off his horses, and they're going to profit big. His horses are going to get the most play on them, yet they want to make him. But there's been so many negative precedents set since Derby Day, in my opinion, since this the whole thing started. The fact you can just kick a guy out of a legendary racetrack without his day in court is a bad precedent. There's so many different things that have gone on around this situation that I think are just wrong.
Tim Wilkin,
I want to make clear, I'm not defending Bob's bad tests. I'm defending them not giving him his due process, his day in court.
Yep. Yeah, right. Tim Wilkin, do you agree with how Breeders' Cup has decided to handle the situation? And do you think Bob is making a mistake agreeing to those terms?
Well, it seems to me that the whole Bob Baffert situation has been a trial by social media. And I think that people are just trying to crucify this guy who don't have all the facts. And, I hope that the Breeders' Cup didn't take that into consideration. The Breeders' Cup needs to have Bob Baffert in their signature event because, he is the Tom Brady of the sport. He's the guy that everyone knows You know, love him or hate him, he's the guy that has to be at the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, if you're going to have all of this scrutiny on the horses coming out to the Breeders' Cup, all right, then do it for everybody. But, you know, don't make the guy pay for it out of his own pocket. That's ridiculous. Like Dale said, I mean, they're making money off of his horses.
Yeah.
And it's just wrong to me. I mean, he'll get his day in court and, you know, then let the chips fall where they may. But right now, let the man, you know, earn his livelihood and bring these horses that, you know, more than a few of them have a pretty good chance to do well.
You know, I'm going to bring this other angle up to you guys, and I didn't tell you we were going to talk about this. This is totally out of the blue, but I said this earlier in the program that if Medina Spirit were to win the Breeders' Cup Classic and defeat Essential Quality again head-to-head, and if he knocks off Nick's Go and Max Player and all the other top older horses, he'd have two victories against older horses because he won the Awesome Again in his previous start. Do you guys think that voters, when it comes to the three-year-old championship, would be able to look at Medina Spirit the same way and just focus on the horse and his accomplishments, or does he get penalized because of Bob Baffert and have no chance of being three-year-old champion?
Well, if all of that did come to fruition, and I do have a vote. I mean, I vote for the Eclipse.
Yeah,
if Medina Spirit were to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, I think it's a slam dunk that he's the horse of the year. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, the horse has done nothing wrong. He just runs, you know, and, you know, that all that other stuff, that was he helped in the Derby? I'm not totally convinced that he was. So I think that if Medina Spirit somehow wins the Breeders' Cup Classic, he's without a doubt should be an easy horse of the year champion, in my opinion.
22 picograms did not help this horse win the Kentucky Derby. The horse is hit on all cylinders. If he wins the Classic, I agree, he should be champion. But there's human nature involved, and that's the problem with all these things, all these awards, and whether it's an Academy Award, a Grammy, or Eclipse Award, human nature is involved, and there's voting going on, and it's just human nature to be negative on this horse.
Yeah, Dr. Mary Scalay also told me on the same show that betamethasone overage in his system did not cause him to run faster. It was not the reason he won the Kentucky Derby. Would be interesting, though, if he goes on to be voted three-year-old champion or horse of the year and is eventually disqualified from the Kentucky Derby. That would certainly be something. Okay, topic number two. Transportation has become a major issue surrounding this year's Breeders' Cup. I talked to Neil Pessin about it on the show last week. Not for the people, but for the horses. In May, Tech Sutton said, you know what, we normally handle the shipping process, but we are unable to renew their lease with any of the aircraft carriers. They have now partnered with FedEx to ship the horses throughout the summer. That has created its own set of issues trying to get out to Breeders' Cup via FedEx. Guys, what type of impact is that going to have on this year's Breeders' Cup?
It's major. It's a major impact. I think it keeps horses on the fringe from the East Coast from going out there that might have taken a shot. You might see somebody jump in from the West Coast that's already there. That maybe not. I mean, Neil's not going. I think he's made that official. And I think part of the problem was the shipping. And it's not just the animals. It's the people, too. We're accustomed to sending up to 14 people on the horse plane when we send the horses out. And if it's not my groom, it's a friend of mine's groom that's on there that's looking after our horses. These horses have to go by themselves. And we have to send a team in commercial early to get everything set up. But it's hard to let a horse of the value of these horses out of your hands without your help looking after them for as long as it takes to leave Churchill Downs or Belmont Park and get to San Diego. It's a major inconvenience. I don't know what we're going to do about it. It's a much bigger picture. They're higher pay grade than any of us or anybody I know has. But I sure wish that Tech Sutton would figure out a way to get things rolling again.
Tim, do you agree this has a major impact on the Breeders' Cup picture?
Sure it does. I mean, how else are you going to get to California? I mean, you're not going to van 2,800 miles from New York or 2,000 miles from Kentucky. That would be ridiculous. And I believe that the Breeders' Cup has chartered two flights, one from Newark on Halloween and the other one from Indianapolis the next day. And they're paying all the expenses on that. But again, like, I think there's 33 horses that can go on each flight. And again, the grooms are not allowed to go on the flight. I guess there's three Tech Sutton grooms that are on these flights. But, yeah, as Dale said, I mean, if you're sending one of your horses out there, you want to have your people on the flight with these horses. I mean, that just makes common sense. I mean, the fact that Tech Sutton hasn't been able to fly since spring, they haven't been able to get any flights, it's horrible for the game. And it'll be interesting to see how many horses from the East Coast do end up going. I know Steve Asmussen sent a lot of his horses out right after the Saratoga meet ended, basically, and they've been out, but that wasn't by the fact that the plane deal. I think he just wanted to get his horses out there to train, but he had plenty of time to get out there. And if you're going out on Halloween or the day after, that only gives you a couple of days to get acclimated to a new place for a lot of these horses, most of these horses that have never been there. You know, I just think that, it's great to have the Breeders' Cup in California, no doubt about that, with the weather and everything, but man, it's just a major inconvenience and a pain to everyone that's going to be trying to get their horses out there.
Yeah, well, we're going
to go back to the old Seabiscuit days and put them on boxcars on the trains and send them out.
You got a boxcar?
Yeah, that's what we need to get, is another boxcar like they used to ship Seabiscuit around the world.
You got access to one of those?
No, but I wish I did. It'd be like Wild Wild West.
Would you put your horses in a boxcar and send them out there by train?
Well, I used to. It worked for Seabiscuit. Why not?
All right. Topic number three. One horse who is absolutely not making the trip to Del Mar is Maxfield. It was announced this week. Trainer Brendan Walsh said that even though his Grade 1 winner earned a spot in the starting gate of the Breeders' Cup with his win in the Stephen Foster this summer, he's going to forego a shot at the Classic and instead point for the Grade 1 Clark at Churchill on November 26th. Guys, do you like the call? Timmy, I'll go to you first.
No, I don't like the call because I thought Maxfield was going to be a major factor in the Breeders' Cup. I think there's going to be so much pace in there that the race could have really set up nice for him. But, you know, I was going to use him for sure in my exotics. And you know, I think he might even have been able to win the race. But, you know, Brendan Walsh knows what he's doing with the horse. And the fact that he's going to shoot for the Clark, the horse is, I think, 4-for-4 at Churchill Downs, which, you know, he obviously likes Churchill Downs. And, you know, in his last two, he wasn't a factor in the Woodward when he couldn't catch Arch Guard Collector. He wasn't a factor in the Whitney when he couldn't catch Knick's Go. So, you know, I want to see all the good horses, the real good horses, go to the Breeders' Cup. And I do wish Maxfield was going. I do understand in a way why he's not. But I think he would have been a factor in the Classic.
This is one of those issues that the press kind of aggravates me. Because nobody's in that barn every day working with that horse like Brendan is. Yet everybody's going to have a comment and think that their comment's right or their opinion is right. Brendan's not going out there. He's not going because he's doing what he thinks is best for his horse. And so even if he wins, loses, draws in the Clark, people will be commenting. If he wins big, well, he should have won. He messed up. Brendan's doing the right thing because Brendan's a smart man. He's a sharp horse trainer, and he knows his horse. The rest of us don't. If you're not in the barn every day looking at that horse, then no one has the right to comment on what he did was right or wrong.
All right, well, there it is. That's topic number three. Brendan Walsh, Dale saying, okay, it's the right call on Maxfield. Timmy saying, nah, I want to see all the top horses out in California for the Breeders' Cup Classic. Topic four. There have been some significant news that has come out this week regarding the Stallion Front, and Windstar announced that Distorted Humor and Congrats are both going to be pensioned, meaning they are retired from stud duty. You had top Breeders' Cup Classic contender Knick's Go, who is going to stand at TaylorMade upon his retirement. Claiborne announced that they have acquired the breeding rights to Met Mile winner Silver State. So, guys, I ask you, which stallions have had the biggest impact on the sport over the past decade? Really curious to get your thoughts on this one. Dale, why don't you take it first?
Well, it's obviously Tappet, and then you got Into Mischief here in the latter part of the last decade. But Tappet was the one. It seems like – there you go up and down and somebody takes over. But we still haven't seen anybody like the impact of Northern Dancer or Stormcat in the last decade, what they did. And when you really start to see, it takes more than a decade to see the major impact, because there's great sires and then there's great sires of sires. That's what Northern Dancer, Stormcat proved out to be. And that's what some of these horses will be, but they really haven't had a full chance yet. I do think going forward, the major impact horse, and I'm going to, it's not this time. I think he's doing wonderful things. You look at his numbers and you put him with the best horses in the last 10 years, the best sires in their first 2 years, and his numbers are equal or better than almost every one of them.
Timmy?
Well, yeah, obviously, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that Tappet is the main guy. I mean, what he's done in his career, he's 20 years old now, but he's still, you know, producing some phenomenal talents. I mean, look at Essential Quality. I mean, it's he just does is his job. And again, Into Mischief, like Dale said, you know, Mandaloon this year, Authentic last year. He's Sire Life is Good, Gamine, Private Mission. And, you know, I've always been a fan of Curlin. Curlin with some of the horses that he's thrown out there, including Exaggerator and Palace Malice, Malafat this year. But one I would keep an eye on is Gunrunner. He jumped out of the box pretty good this summer, winning two grade ones at Saratoga with Echo Zulu and Goodnight, the Hopeful and the Spinaway. So I think despite the fact that we have horses leaving the stallion ranks, there's an awful lot of good ones still out there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, final question, and this is something that we talked about starting last week. We did it this week. It is a question submitted by our listeners, and HRN Nation wants to know, and this final question submitted by a listener on Twitter, we have seen a trend in recent years of big ownership groups joining forces and partnering to purchase high-end prospects at the sales. Some would say that this makes it more difficult for the quote-unquote little guy to get involved and compete. So guys, HRN Nation wants to know, is this good or bad for racing? Who wants it first?
I'll take that one. First of all, little guy's not going to buy these top-end horses. I don't care what little guy you are. And, you know, the dynamics of buyers, it always changes every year. What's happening, they're kind of replacing. The shakes have disappeared from the American market. And it's good friendly competition among billionaires. Let them all team up. And Allbaugh family, we've teamed up with a couple of guys and bought some horses. I don't see it being a problem. I think that it may keep them from buying more horses. It might just take the most expensive ones, but the most expensive ones aren't always the best. It may open some doors for other people to jump in there and buy.
Tim?
Well, yeah. Look at Tis the Law last year. I mean, the Sakatoga Group, they're not in the billionaire category by any means. And, you know, lightning struck twice for them when they had Funny Side in 2003, and then they had Tis the Law last year. I mean, it's not like these billionaire, groups that come in and they have the money. Yeah, if you have the money, spend the money. And if you get lucky, you're going to get lucky. I mean, if you have the money, and I'm just going to use myself in this example, because yesterday I had some money and I had to go to this benefit last night, and they had all these door prizes, a 50-50 raffle and all this. So I had enough money to probably put in more money than anybody else, and I won a big door prize and the 50-50, and I walked out of there with all the prizes. So I guess I would be one of the billionaire owners at this benefit last night.
Hey, the great thing about this game is a good horse can come from anywhere. You got $17,000 Seattle Salute that wins a Triple Crown, and if you don't have to be a billionaire to play it, and you could be busted one day and wake up rich the next. So there's a lot of opportunity out there. There's 5,000 horses. I think a few guys teaming up to put their money together. And there's a lot more reasons behind it than just the fact. I mean, any billionaire in the country can afford to buy the whole book first day. But it also is competitions among farms. They all want to have a piece of the best horse when it goes to stallion instead of fighting for it after the fact. That's going to be the biggest effect, is how many of the farms own pieces of horses that have already been made, and you're not buying the stallion prospects from off the track.
And if some of these people that have these big operations and they want to allow the common guy to get involved with it, and that's happened too, let them do it. it'll bring more people into the game, more fans into the game, more interest into the game, and I think it'll make the game healthier as we move forward.
Well, and the market always takes care of itself.
Yeah. Interesting takes. Dale Romans, Tim Wilkin. We're back next week with another brand new edition of I Ask, They Answer. We'll tackle more of the hottest topics in the sport. Guys, as always, a lot of fun. Really appreciate you taking the time and appreciate the insight.
Hey, thanks, Mike. We talking about Halloween next week?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, so let's figure out your Halloween costume.
Now, I'm going to tell you one thing about Halloween next week. Running on Halloween Day in the stake at Churchill Downs, my horse, his name is Howling Time out of the Mare Werewolf. Got to be the greatest hunch bet of the year.
Hey, Dale, congratulations on Dennis's moment. Good to see him back in the winner's circle.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. That was very special for yesterday.
Yeah, fantastic.
All right, folks, see
well
you
done.
Next week.
You got it. Dale Romans, Tim Wilkin, I Ask, They Answer. We'll do it again next week, same time, 10:30 Eastern. Make sure you're locked into the Equine Forum. I'm back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.